that's a shout worthy of a king. I almost thought I was at a ball game. Praise God. You know, if we can't shout for Jesus, why are we shouting for anybody else? Why? Nobody else volunteered to go to a cross. Nobody else loved us that much. Definitely not your favorite ball player, your favorite team. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I won't jump on that one. I should, but... All right. Today is Building Fund Offering Day. Thank you in advance. Also, this Friday, 7:14, Bible study. Fellowship will be here at the church, 7 p.m. Where are you at? Six? Yeah, I think it's Acts 6 as well. Mark your calendars for Sunday, August 13th for At His Feet Christian Center's annual baptism and picnic. More details are to come. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I have been chomping on the message, and I'm really hoping God has finally gotten all those words jumbled in, because I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm kind of here. I know where we're going. And one thing I will tell you is He has never failed me yet. So we will pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your goodness, Lord. You are the only King of kings. You are the only Lord of lords. You're the only Creator. Father, You are worthy of all of our praise, and we give it to You freely, not coaxed and not forced. So, Father, we present to You today our tithes and our offerings. Lord God, bless them now according to Your never-failing word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and Super Kids are dismissed. And if you haven't noticed, my toes are exposed. And boy, do they feel pretty good. Oh, praise God. Yes, sir. Jesus boots. I like that. Yeah. They ain't sandals. They're Jesus boots. Oh, praise God. Oh. Have you ever asked for something and you didn't get it? And I say ask God. Did you ever ask God for something you didn't get it? Every last one of us should be saying yes. Because I have. God, I'm mad. Why didn't You give me that? You know, I've asked God for $1 million until I realized that if I won $1 million, $500,000 is going to taxes right off the bat. That leaves me $500,000 so that I can go buy a ranch house that 2 years ago sold for a lot less than $500,000. It's a little crazy out there right now. I seen a house I lived in, 5/8 of an acre. 1,800 square feet. They added a bathroom somewhere. I'm not for sure where. Lived in that house for 2 years, and they're asking almost $400,000 for it. It hadn't been painted in 30 years prior to them reciting it this time. I don't know what's going on, but neither do I care, because I'm not selling mine. I'm staying put. But anyhow, I've asked God for things in times past. Didn't get them. Lord, I want $1 million. Well, $1 million ain't enough. By the time I do this, and this, I'm not going to have very much money to do what You want me to do with it, Lord. So now we got to go, you know, $350 million. That might get us done, Lord. Do we... We really can't wrap our heads around how much money that is. And let alone the number of billionaires that are hitting the world scene now. Billion, millionaires. 999 million plus one. I could live comfortably on a million the rest of my life, wisely. But yet in our society, in our world, that's not enough. We got to have more. We always want more, don't we? We never find satisfaction with where we're at. I got to have more. I got to have more. And I'm not saying that God won't bless you with more. But there's things you have to take into consideration before you go asking him for these things. And I'll tell you what kind of spurred this. You know, in the last, I don't know, however long, Angela and I, we decided, you know, we need to take care of some things for the end. I don't want my kids to do that. They don't know who I want played. They don't know I want them to have a party. They do now. But we're like, I always joked, I said, just take me to Paris Island and throw me in the sand. And then Joshua one day said, Dad, we're taking you out behind the barn and throwing you in the field. I said, yeah, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Doesn't matter. And then, you know, and I thought about it, and I thought, no, that's really not, it's not good. So we've made some decisions. So, and I was having this conversation with somebody else the other day, and I said, so what are your decisions? You know, what are your final arrangements? Oh, I'm not going to die. Jesus is coming back before I die. Yeah, and John thought that too. Nearly 2,000 years ago. So I said, okay, but what if? And they began to tell me, and I said, okay. I said, now that sounds more like you thought of something. But what hit me, ladies and gentlemen, was not the flippant attitude. It was the fact that somebody's faith is in something that is unscriptural. Well, Jesus said, whatever I believe for asking in faith, I will receive it, right? Matthew 21:21. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. I believe I won't die. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't get out of this life alive. Don't care when it happens. I believe the Bible puts it this way. Those of us who are still around when Jesus returns, we will be changed instantly. That change is the death of this body. It puts on the incorruptible. It no longer produces its own cholesterol, so you have to take pills. Your heart becomes good. Your blood pressure goes to where it's supposed to be because it now becomes incorruptible. And if I'm in that change, praise God. If I'm in the other one, praise God. I don't fear death. And I've come to the realization that I think people who say that, because that's not the first time I've heard it, they fear death. What is there to fear? The Apostle Paul put it this way, if I'm here, okay, but for me to be there, I'm with him. I'm in Christ. I'm with Christ. I don't have to fear death. Now, having said that, I'm not looking to die anytime soon, okay? But I don't fear death. Joshua, go check that. Last time that happened, we had a cabinet that decided it didn't want to hang on the wall anymore. It was anchored pretty good this time. That sounded like somebody ran into the wall. But, so anyhow, we ask things, and we believe because Jesus said, I can ask whatever I want, right? Imagine, if you will, you're in the land of Canaan. You're in Israel. And you go down in southern Israel. And you come up on this mountain and your lazy butt says, I don't want to go around that mountain. I don't want to go over that mountain. Mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And lo and behold, here comes this 80-year-old man off the top of that mountain and says, my name is Caleb. Who do you think you are? This is my mountain. Walk your slap happy butt around it. Why do we think we have authority over something like that? Jesus was really using this as a metaphor. You don't think about the ramifications of moving a mountain, do you? You change the airflow. Rob and Katie just came back from some pretty big mountains. That changes a whole lot if one of those mountains disappears. The airflow, the water, everything now changes. Why do we think that we can do things just because we want to? Jesus said, I can do it. I'm going to show you in the Word of God where I think there may be some things lost in translation. Because Jesus didn't just go do whatever he wanted to do. He said, I do what I see my Father do. He had already seen his Father tell him that tree is dying. That tree is no longer producing anything. Speak to it to teach your disciples a lesson. He spoke to it and it dried up from the roots up. Right like that, boom, next day it's gone. It's dead. And Jesus was trying to demonstrate to them the power that they have. Because if you need to move a mountain and God has to move a mountain, understand something. The world is severely changing right then and God needs you to get through there. But there's something more we need to look at. In Matthew 26:39, Jesus is now in the garden praying. How many of you know Jesus did not want to go to the cross as a man? Oh, I don't. He went on a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus' body, his earthly body, the man wanted his will at that point was, I really don't want to do this. But he said something right there at the end that should be our justification for every prayer we have, everything we're believing for, not my will, but your will. Lord, I want that car. Ooh, yeah, it's a nice car. You know, I think I told everybody about the McLaren that passed me the other day on 71. By the way, it's only a $320,000 car. Only. Chump change. And by the way, that is a really cheap hypercar. But, Lord, I want one of them. Lord, I want this car. You know, I think Bugattis are pretty sweet cars. They're good looking. Anybody want to buy a tire? They're $50,000 each. They have to be specially built for the car. And when they first started making the Bugatti Veyron, it cost $2 million to build the car, and they couldn't sell it for $2 million at that time. Volkswagen, by the way, owns them, was taking a beating on it. But you see, people still bought them. And now they're paying $3 million. I want that car, Lord. I want that truck, right? I want that truck, Lord. Oh, I want that truck so bad. I want that truck. You know, and all my boys, I've had this discussion with them. I said, you need to understand, first off, you know, earlier on in my life, I was a diesel mechanic. I said, you have got a lot more maintenance on that vehicle, and it costs more. When I did oil changes on semis, and this has been a minute or two ago because it isn't that cost anymore, it was $200 to change the oil. And we gripe about $30 to $60. It's a whole lot more than that now. But I want that, Lord. I want that. You know what you failed to ask God for? Lord, help me to make more money. Because has anybody noticed diesel fuel, the least refined of the fuels that we burn in our vehicles, costs the most? So you're going to have more expensive fill-ups. The wear and tear on your vehicle is harder. Those trucks have to be heavy duty. Everything has to be built up, so you're paying more all the way around for it. I said, now when you need a diesel, you buy a diesel. They do have their benefits. But if you just want to tool around town, crank up the injection pump so you can blow smoke out the rear end and burn up your engine quicker, that's just not exactly all that smart. And by the way, that does not come from me, but from Ed Wasserback, who builds pulling engines and tractor engines. It'll kill your motor. I don't care. It's cool. Or, Lord, I want that woman. I want that man. They may be psychos. What, then what are you going to do? I believe God will lead your heart to your spouse. God will lead you to them. I remember, you know, in elementary and, you know, going up through junior high and high school, you know, the little crushes you'd have. Oh, that girl's pretty. You know, maybe it was her perfume that day that caught your attention. You know, when you're a teenage boy, pizza could have been a cologne or a perfume and you would have been following it down the hall. But you always, and I remember this one particular, my heart, it was just for her. Oh, it was for her. And there was no other girls. It was her. I used to pray, Lord, let her remember me. She had been my girlfriend once. But what I've discovered over the years is sometimes God's greatest gift is no. She has had a terrible life because of her decisions. She's not even the same girl. She doesn't even look the same anymore. Her life has taken its toll on her. And lo and behold, God brought me a different one. See, what we think we want because we fall in love with something here isn't always what we really wanted. We wanted something else, but we saw the outer wrapping, right? Oh, that's the perfect one for me. No, probably not. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes your spouse needs to challenge you both ways, ladies and gentlemen. As I heard somebody explain it to me, because their wife's, he's like, you got to give me a break. She says, well, I'm just your sandpaper trying to rough off the edges. He said, yes, but a good carpenter knows when to lift the sandpaper. You got to back off. So, but we're constantly wanting things. Do you talk to God about it? God, why am I still single right now? I don't know. Ask God what he wants for your life. God, what do I do with my life? And most of the time, the thing is, God showed you 10 years ago what to start doing with your life, how you're supposed to be in your life. And you said, I don't want to do that. I didn't want to join the Marines. I mean, I always like to throw it around there and act tough. Until I actually signed a contract, and then one day on August 2nd, 1990, I really realized what I did. Oh, they're taking volunteers to go to Saudi Arabia right now. But I now realize, looking back, God always wanted me there. Because he had to make a man. So we need to ask God, according to his will, what it is we're to do. If you're looking for something, ask God. And you know what? God doesn't come down and, yay, 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 verily, verily, I say unto thee. Angela, I want you to do this. Usually it's that tugging on your heart. Because the Bible says he's a still small voice. And that's why you have to shut everything down. Spend time in prayer and meditation and listen to him. I'm a dreamer. Those of you that really know me, you know I'm a dreamer. And it has drove my wife nuts for years. This. I had no problem dreaming. I mean, we used to dream. We were dating and we were dream building houses. And I took her to this old place right up the road from my house. There was just a hole in the ground. There was still the old foundation. We swore up and down the house was haunted when I was a kid because there'd be lights in it. There were no wires going to that house. We don't know. But I just know whenever I did go by it on my bike, I rode as fast as I possibly could. And I said, one day I went up there and I stepped it all off and I measured everything and I went back to home and I drew up a house. And, you know, it was really cool. It looked old, but it was all new because I was going to get a job working as an electrician and I was going to make a lot of money. I never once asked God. God's plans were a little different for me. He even used the Marine Corps to lie to me to tell me I was going to be an electrician. Yeah, that'll work. Until I found out all they do is run extension cords across the ground, grab a rifle, and take off fighting. Yeah, that's not exactly what was in the brochure. But what God did do is he utilized my dreams to keep me moving. My dreams have always. But when I've realized, I need to know what my dreams are, but there are things God gives you. I remember one time I said, I want a blue truck. I want a blue extended cab Chevy pickup. The first big truck I ever bought was a blue extended cab Chevy pickup. Did have a silver stripe in the middle. It was okay. With a 350, that was my first big boy truck. I always had littler trucks. And so what I've learned to do is I've learned to start following God. God, I would like this according to your will. Last year when I got my silver truck, I wasn't really up to going. I was like, I'm not far from being able to pay my truck off. Then one day, God dropped it into my spirit. Look. Looky there. I drove in, looked. I said, I want to look at that truck. And you know, here's the hilarious part. The guy I had dealt with, he had actually moved to another department. I liked him. I bought two cars off him. I think Pat's bought three or four off of him. I go in there, and I'm standing out there looking at this truck, and who comes up behind me, and he says, Art. I said, John, I thought you were over at the tractors. He says, I was. Today's my first day back. Yeah, John Bird. Yeah, he said, this is my first day back over here. Ding, ding, ding. Well, I tell you, it had been a couple days now because I think about it because he had six TVs he bought. And there was one sitting in there waiting. I got it. But God brought me the salesman that I trusted. And I still get to talk to this guy on a regular basis. Run into him from time to time out in town and go in. And he remembers my family. But I wasn't going to buy that truck until God said, look, go check it out. Whoop, truck was mine. Went and picked it up the next day just because we couldn't get the bank to transfer the money after hours. No problem. Our house, we gave up. I said, God, I'm done trying to sell this and get out of Mount Gilead. I'm done. I'm here. I'm happy. I'm going to redo the kitchen, and I'm done. I'm done trying to look. About a month later, a little bit later, I'm sitting there and just kind of got in me, look in the paper, look in the compass, you know. Look, see what the market's doing. Look, there's a log cabin, 11 acres. It's in Mount Gilead School District. Let's go look at it. We were both content. We had both said this. We're done. But what God did was he began to stir in us to move. And now he brought us to our to a house, ladies and gentlemen, that going back to 1988 when I drew plans, I was able to do many of the things in that house that I had planned. God put a dream in me, but sometimes it's not for yet. We got to be content. But other things, you got to ask God, Lord, do I buy this truck or not? And if God suddenly goes quiet and you get that knot in your stomach, walk away. I bought a pair of boots a couple years ago. Red Wing boots. Anybody that's bought Red Wings knows they're not cheap. And the woman at the store gave me a pair of Red Wing gloves. Like, man, they were a couple years they lasted. I liked them, but I wore them out. And I went back the other day to get a pair. I said, I'm going to get two pairs because I remember what the receipt said. And I told the girl what I was looking for. She brought two pair up, and I was checking out some things. And I went up and looked at them and said, first off, they're insulated. I don't wear insulated gloves, period. But I flipped it over to see the price tag. They were $40 a pair. I asked for two pair. That's $80 for two pair of gloves. And they weren't the same gloves. That knot showed back up. And I said, oh, I am so sorry. I said, these are insulated. And that's all they had. I said, I don't wear insulated gloves. God gave me the out. So now, James, he starts saying, where do wars and fights come from among you? He's talking about internally. Not just this way, but inside us. Where do we war? Why are we war? Why do we have to be better than the neighbors? I don't give a rip about what my neighbors are doing. I will say there is one phenomenon that is legit, and it's called the lawn mowing peer pressure. You hear a lawnmower, you suddenly got to go mow your grass. Justin mowed our grass last week. I don't think it was 15 minutes later, I hear the neighbor, he's out mowing his. I'm like, I know you just mowed it a couple days ago, but it's legit. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war within your members? Now, we have to take authority over those things within our members. I love sweet stuff. Yesterday was not a good day for me. We had family reunion, wedding reception, and a birthday party. Yeah, we went to the birthday party. That's a lot of sugar. But I was good. I only had a handful of cookies. No. But they were all good cookies, I will tell you that. But our members war within us. Our mind wars. Well, they got a new truck. I have to get a new truck. No, you don't. Find yourself content with what you have and let God lead you. If it's time for you to have a new vehicle, get one when he said it. It doesn't matter if somebody else got one. Well, they got a new car. I got to get one. No, you don't. They remodeled their house. It's time for us to remodel. No, you don't. If you're happy with your house, stay as it is. But if it's falling down, you better do repairs. Because you will lose it. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet because you do not have because you do not ask. Huh. You still have to ask. God, I'd like to remodel my house. Do you know what I find amazing is because I've learned to trust God in this, and I've learned, and there's still times I miss him, but if I'm looking for something, I'll go on, particularly for me, Marketplace. I'll go on there and, okay, I don't know if it's their algorithm messing with my mind or if it's God messing with them. Because something I'm looking for is like, there it is. That's what I'm looking for. Call them up. Yeah. You can, I'll hold it for you. When can you be here? 2 hours. I'll be there. I bought a toolbox. Big toolbox. Pretty cheap. And when I get up there, the guy starts giving me more stuff. Like, thank God I got my trailer. But I found the same toolbox for about $300 more than what I paid for it. Thank you, Jesus. By the way, the guy was also a piano player in his church's praise team. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Ask God what you to do. Ask him. Now, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Listen, God doesn't care if you have a nice car. He doesn't care if you have a nice house. He doesn't care if you have nice clothes. He really doesn't. Because it's not those pleasures he's talking about. It's your pride. That's what gets stroked. Look at my boots. I spent $5,000. You got took. I've seen those boots that cost $5,000. And I've seen some preachers wearing them and flaunting them. Who cares? Prove to me you got a good pair of cowboy boots and go step on a cockroach in a corner. Or go get some poop on them. Then you'll tell me, you'll let me know if those $5,000 boots are worth it compared to my $200 pair. Because they're all made in the same place. But we want to spend it on our pleasures. Now here's the kicker. Same chapter. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Again, here's the second point where we see where God said, if you will, if it's God's will, ask for God's will. Ask him to start showing you. Lord, what is it you're showing me? Carmen had a song years ago, said, the desire is a confirmation, the destination is there. And when we realized that we were being called to start this church, the desire started to settle in for us. Because like I said, no way, not going to happen, nada, uh-uh. Not doing it, Lord. And when we said yes, the desire set in. And it was our confirmation. And then when we said that, God began to show us all the times he was telling us from my age of 16, when the first time he told me that I would stand before people. And later on through the years, I ran into somebody and they said, you know, this preacher said, and I was 10 at the time, he said, he's going to preach. I was 10, and that man saw it. Another pastor saw it. He didn't want to tell me. No problem. I don't want people to tell me. I really don't. I don't want you to tell me what God has for my life. I just as soon trust God and roll with it. I want to live my life, not try to orchestrate my life to fulfill his will. God will lead me. The whole time for the Marine Corps was to get me here. Because one of the things I also had to learn was I can't run a church the way I could run a unit. Can't do that. You have to run the church through love, compassion, mercy, not through dictatorship. Doesn't go well, except for with other self or control freaks. That's the only time it works. And then the problem, here's the real problem with that. You got a control freak here, control freak here, control freak here, control freak here. They're all in charge of everything. Eventually, you're going to lock horns. And it's going to go, poof. Bye-bye. So you can't be like that. Yes, there has to be a head. But you can't be the control freak in it. You got to let people run with it. Let them run into the wall. If God wills,
Lord, is it your will that I get that truck? I know people that say, I had a dream I was in it. Let me tell you right now, I've had dreams I was in Ferraris. But I am not going out and buying a Ferrari. Would I still like to have one? A 308. That's it. That's the only Ferrari I really would like to have. That's Magnum PIs, by the way. That's the only one. I don't want the $500,000 to $1 million Ferraris. I don't. There's a guy in Candlewood's got a Ferrari. It's a 456 GT. I thought, ooh, listen, it sounded good. I was right behind him on 19. I thought, ooh, now, it don't look like what you think. It looks like that Chrysler Crossfire. It's only about a $20,000 Ferrari because it's ugly. But it's a Ferrari. But the point being, God, I wouldn't kick it out of my driveway. But I know it's going to ride like a go-kart. I don't have a Mustang because they ride like go-karts. And I've gotten old enough in my life to where I'm like, I like luxury. I like to go over those bumps. And I have found out that that truck out there, it's a lesser package than my last one, rides 10 times smoother because it doesn't have those heavy-duty shocks that I'd never really needed because I wasn't off-roading. But the sticker looked cool. The $400 sticker on the back looked really cool. I know because I had to have it replaced once. You need to ask God, do I do this? He shuts the door. Don't kick the door open. I always tell people, I say, when God shuts the door, look for a window. I'm not a thief. I never insinuated you were, but evidently you are because that's what the first thing you went to. Windows are for looking through, not crawling through. So you look. God, why didn't you give me that person? I'll help you out here. Years ago, when my sister was in elementary, and I think even up through junior high, she had this one boy. That was her boy. She was going to marry him. She loved him. Thought she loved him. And, you know, things just never worked out for her. Well, after we moved back, you know, when the police still put the crimes in the paper, I found his name, and beside it, domestic violence. I said, thank you, Jesus. She never married that jackwagon. I can't handle that. I can't even watch the videos that show up on movies. It's not a part of a movie if it's in there that I care for. I don't need it. I've seen it. And if she had pursued, the violence would have been against her. See, we have to be careful what we think we want instead of, Lord, what do you want? You know, we often ask, you know, I've heard people talk about it over the years, and you look at a movie star, which, you know, maybe in movie stars it's all about the money, but even in the natural world, you see a guy with a girl, you're like, okay, dude, you definitely married out of your pay grade here. You're out of your element. And then people look at her, why did you marry him? He's kind, loving, attentive. Those are the main things. He listens to me. He talks to me. He loves me. You know, if you got the Ken and Barbie thing going on, all you got's egos. But in the end, folks, we always have to go back to God. Is this your will? This wasn't our first pick of a building for the church. We were trying to buy a church. And it was $75,000 cheaper. And we're like, God, how do we do this? And well, I had a couple options. We tried the traditional and then somebody else, and that guy said, no, we're not, I won't do that. And I'm like, I was going to pay you back as quick as I could with interest. No problem. But then later he said, yeah, I'll do this. Oh, never mind. We decided against it. And by the way, there's a church in it now, right around the corner. Why? Because it wasn't ours. By asking God, where do you want me? That day, after all my doors shut down, every door shut on me, God said, go by that building. Go look at it. Do you understand the odds of the owner of the building turning into the driveway to have to actually wait for me to turn in? And then that day, we reached an agreement. And they financed it. And now it's paid off. Hallelujah. It's paid off. That's God. That's following His will. You know, down here at the Point, there's a foundation of a building that's been there, is it the 80s? You remember? Up across from the fairgrounds? I think it was the 80s. A church was being built there. Oh, yeah. It's been a long time. Yeah, late 80s. I don't think the church even exists anymore. Yeah, the church doesn't even exist anymore. The church up there on Park Avenue in Mansfield, that big building, some of you have seen it. Huge, I think it's 43,000 square feet. Empty. It's been sold now to, I forget what, oh, indoor storage, if I remember right. How much junk do we have? We're building storage units everywhere. And Menards is building one of them up there in Ontario. We're keeping junk. Move it on. But you see, we still have that in our head. He who dies with the most junk wins. No, you don't. I just cleaned out my barn. And I sent a dumpster to the landfill. I got rid of stuff. I'm like, why do I still have it? Those are ruined now. Ask God about everything you go to do. Well, I don't need to ask Him about everything. Well, listen, when you start listening to Him, He will actually start leading you without you even having to ask. Because you can ask my boys. There's been times things just show up without me. My truck showed up without me actually asking. I wasn't looking for a new truck. But suddenly, I just did. And I liked that truck better. Point being, sometimes what you think you have to have, you don't. I do miss remote start and air heated seats. I do admit that. Remote start's awesome because I park outside. My truck don't fit in the garage. But if you are impetuous and jump through everything before you ask God, do I jump? You get the deal with the problems. And God, and if you keep finding the door keeps getting shut, it's because God's shutting it. Quit kicking it open. Do where the door is open. I always tell people if they're asking, I say, follow the peace in your heart. Do you have peace? Yes. Then do it. If the Holy Spirit in you is screaming, no, 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 run the other way as fast as you can. Because there's reasons. And if you're looking for a house, do not buy this $45,000 house around the corner. It needs a foundation. They've already advertised you just need to tear the house down. Be advised. Hey, let me find out about this. Well, you know, I believe this, so it's got to be true. It's my faith. I believe. That person that believes that Jesus is going to come back before they die is a fool. Because Jesus don't know when he's coming back. So how do we know that he's not going to wait another 100 years? And at that point, everybody in this room will be with him. And I'm actually kind of looking forward to that ride, because he says he comes back with 10,000 of his saints. That's us. And I ain't much of a horse person, but I'll suck it up. Maybe God will give me a motorcycle. I trust them a little bit more. They don't have their own brain. They do what I want. But folks, in these days, you have got to ask God, God, do I do it? Do I don't? And if God gives you the peace, then you got to do it. And I ain't going to lie to you. Sometimes trusting God is scary. It's real scary. Signing a contract for this building, saying I would make sure that it gets paid off in 15 years with interest. That was my name next to that and hers. I ain't going to take all the blood. It was our name on that. In an organization that has a lot of volunteers and people that are free to come and go as they please. They get mad at me, they leave. They move. All kinds of reasons. Or they just decide, I don't want to come to church anymore. What happens? I was stuck with a $1,000 bill every month. Whether or not there was money coming in. But you know what? Because it was God, not one time did I ever have to make a payment. Not one time. And ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand, we never missed a payment, and we've remodeled all of this. And I think we, right at the moment, about 1,000, or is it zero? Yeah. 1,000. We only have $1,000 in debt. Because there was a point we had to put some things on the credit card to get furnaces and stuff so we could be warm and cool. But $1,000, that's all we owe. Find another church in this county that only has $1,000 in debt. It's not us. It's not my genius. It's God. God has provided. And I'm just willing to follow wherever he's leading us. And if he says, you go to this place in Indiana and you buy the furnace, and I'm going to give you a bigger furnace. That thing is, the other one on the other side, is 2 tons bigger than it needed. It works great. God has provided everything for us. That's what happens when you ask his will. Well, next year, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pave the parking lot. I think Pat didn't, what was it? It was $20,000 when we had that estimated, what, about 08? 20, and that was chip and seal. Because they said, yeah, paving is expensive right now. It ain't any cheaper now. I mean, I hate to see what the county's having to pay for roads. But eventually, I call that drive, that parking lot paved. Free. Amen. All. It's going to be paid for. Not going to stress it. We'll just keep spraying Roundup and pulling the gravel back from the snowplow. But until then, I'm not worried about it. Because everything is in God's timing. This building, my trip from Botkins to here that day, was in God's timing. If I had stopped to get a drink between here and Botkins, I would have missed him. If he had stopped and got a drink, he'd have missed me because I was just driving through. Everything you need to ask God about. I know we all have, I mean, I've made plans. Like, oh, that's because that's what James was talking about. It's exactly what he's talking about here. He said, Don't say this next year we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go to this city, we're going to go to that city. He said, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. Because I've known too many people that just said, well, these are our plans and we're sticking to them. And then they end up having to come back to God's will. Because that wasn't God's will. So ask God. Now, on that, we have asked God, Lord, is it your will? And he said, emphatically, it is my will. We're going on vacation. So, Phil's the guy to contact. He's only going to contact me if there's a death or we need to pray about somebody in the hospital. You got a bellyache? I'm not going to hear about it. Okay? But Brother Joe, we're going to leave Phil alone right now because I know better. And Brother Joe, good Lord, was it a month ago? He's standing there and he just looks over, he comes over and says, okay, I don't know what's about to happen, but God's given me a message. And every time God gives me a message, you have something you have to deal with. And he says, so I don't know, you need to pray or what? I said, no, brother. I said, I'm thinking about vacation. He said, oh, thank God. Because, see, the last time he did, God started moving on him. Justin had his accident. So he's been telling me anytime God starts giving him a message, I'm like, okay, I'm going to call a vacation. Lord, vacation's coming to me. So, and it's only going to be Angela and I. So this is the first time in I don't know how long. We took a couple days last year, but a tornado decided to come through Morrow County. Yeah, dropped a big tree in our yard and did some damage. And those straight line winds, yeah, it did a lot of damage. So, but we're going to go to Michigan this year and see Lake Huron and Mackinac City. And somebody wants to go over that bridge. I think it's a bridge, honey. You can see it. It's going to look the same on the other side. She's like, I'll drive if you want. I said, no, I'll drive. I'd rather be focusing on the drive across and know that. Yeah. But praise God, we're going to have a good time. But like I said, we will know more about it. And also, we've had some questions about issue one. I encourage you to check out the real information. The commercials are not giving you the full, it's not right. Okay, because my concern was, yes, we're taking it from a 51% vote to a 60% vote. That could bite us in the butt on the other side. However, part of issue one is a huge thing, and it requires, right now, 44 counties is all that has to be good with it. Issue one makes 88 counties responsible. All of Ohio will get their voice. The commercials are lying. So, and Sarah, next week, can you have them, those flyers?
I've got flyers at Harvey.
Yeah. Bring them here and make them copies in here. Yeah, she's going to have some copies of the thing and what it really means, because I was on the fence even as of yesterday until I started getting some more of the real information. I'm like, okay, that could bite us in the butt on the other side if we're trying to get something passed. But in all honesty, if not all the state is getting their voice heard, because I understand what they do is they take Columbus, the liberal counties, and they start there and they get their majority of their votes and their signatures. So our vote and voice doesn't matter. They don't need it because we are a conservative county still. And so other conservative counties that are further out don't get their voices heard, period, because they'll go from there, they'll go to Cleveland, they'll go to Youngstown and to Lima and those areas. And that's where they're getting their signatures and their voices. So they now will have to get everybody's thoughts on it instead of just those localities. So go to the actual website. I'm sure is there an official website that carries all that? I know you can look all this stuff up. You don't know? Okay. I'm sure the Board of Elections website has a link to it. do your due diligence in everything. Don't just take one person's what they say about it, because everybody distorts it. Read the doggone bill. You can see what's absolutely on it. Everything. Don't take the news and advertisements. Because like I said, as of yesterday, I was about ready to say, well, that's a double-edged sword. But there's more to it, and there always is. Okay, so we move it up 9%. It's 9 more votes. Your votes, those votes are still counting. It doesn't matter. But, and it's still majority. It just raises what we need.
They're actually going door-to-door getting signatures.
Yeah. And they're paying $20 a signature. So we need to make sure that we're paying attention, because, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't just affect us. It's going to affect Turner. It's going to affect the next generations. So keep that in mind. Well, I don't really care. You should. If you're still breathing air, you better care about everybody. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And it would close a lot of pregnancy centers in Ohio.
So, you got a lot of stuff to think about. And I know her, the paper she's got will explain more. So.
Yes.
August 8th?
Yes.
It's August 8th. There's a special election for it. So. And if you know any liberal friends, look in their front yard. They're the ones with the no. All of them. So if you see one, I can tell you right now, there's 3 right here beside the church, and they're liberals. I don't care if you're liberal or conservative. I really don't. Jesus loves us all the same. But when it comes to killing babies and taking away my rights and my voice, no. We have a voice. Let's use it. Amen? All right, let's stand. All right. Sorry, I think I was thinking there was something else I wanted to say, but no. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we thank you that you have a will for each and every life. Lord, I pray right now that you help us. Remind us, Father, that when we're looking to make a decision, whether it's buying property, whether it's buying a vehicle, whether it's making investments, Lord, no matter what it may be, new jobs, Father, spouses, Father, I pray right now that the first thing we do, that we remember, that we listen to that still small voice that is saying, go for it, or stop. Lord, I pray right now that we will listen. Father, help us. Father, and again, stir that in us every time we have something. And Lord, when we don't have the time to spend the time in prayer, Father, that we can learn to listen to your voice as you lead us while we're walking, while we're moving, while we, if we have to make a decision right there, you will lead us. You will lead us through every step. You will show us what to do, when to do, and how to do it. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you for that. And now, Lord, I pray, I bless these people today. Father, I thank you for them. Lord, I pray for even for next week, Lord, that your anointing will be on the praise team. Your anointing will be on Brother Joe as he brings forth a message. Father, that your hands are upon your people here this week, Lord. There will be no emergencies. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in their lives, Father. You're redirecting the enemy's attacks in the name of Jesus. Amen.